hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Jesus died, and part of the reason why he died was because he had to go and confront evil powers on our behalf and destroy their control and effectiveness and resurrect to give us new life. And so in his death, he disarmed principalities and powers. He didn't kill principalities and powers. He didn't destroy principalities and powers. Principalities and powers are still there. But he disarmed them. There's a difference between somebody who is dangerous and armed. But if the person still hates you, but has no capacity to hurt you, then he has been disarmed. I will not say the devil doesn't hate you. He hates you and he'll hate you till he's in the lake of fire. I will not say that demons and principalities and powers do not hate you. So far as you bear the image of God, they will hate you. It's like somebody who sees you and say, you remind me of somebody. And the person that you remind them of is somebody they hate. A woman looks at you and says, he looks like my ex-husband. Look at even his nose. And when you haven't done anything, you come to and say, why is your nose like that? Why is your nose like that? Because you bear the image of somebody she hates. The reason devils hate you is not because of the family you came from. What kind of family do you come from? That's nothing. Your family is nothing. In the scheme of things, eternal, consequential matters, your family is nothing. Your achievement is nothing. Your degree is nothing. No demon will bother over you because you passed an exam. The only reason why they hate you, because you remind them of the one who kicked them out. You are the image of God. And whenever they see you, they see and say, look at them in Ghana. We should find a way to destroy them. And they do everything to destroy you. And they will try, but they are disarmed. Before Christ, they will plan and they can execute because they were armed. But after Christ came, he said, you can live your life by bring the gun, bring the knife, bring the arms. You can't use any of these things. You can hit them, but you can't hurt them. Now, there is a video I watched. One of these memes and all kinds of things that circulate on the internet of a young boy who was in a kind of a zoo, and he's playing. He's facing where the camera is, and I suppose it's his parents who are taking the shot. And behind him is a lion. And the lion looks at this boy, tiny boy, vulnerable, and you see the lion just running, chasing very fast. And if you watch it the first time, it's very terrifying because this boy doesn't even see the lion is coming. And the lion is coming and coming and coming to eat up this boy, and then it hits a glass. Because behind the boy is a glass, which we don't see. And the glass is thick enough to prevent the lion from eating him. So you can run what you want. You can hate what you want. But you cannot touch him. You can't touch him. You can't touch him. And that's what Christians should understand. The devil is still a roaring lion. He's a wounded lion. There are principalities. There are powers. But on that Good Friday, they were disarmed. They were disarmed. They may be in your family. They may use people. But they have been disarmed. And that is one truth Christians should understand. Because sometimes people say, you don't understand spiritual. Pastor, you haven't seen things. I have seen things. I have seen Jesus. I've seen his blood. I've seen his power. I've seen his redemption. What more do you want me to see? Somebody's testimony that is greater than the testimony of Jesus? Somebody tells you, hey, Pastor, you don't know. There are demons and I've experienced it. Your story. I should take your story and go and negate what Jesus Christ did because of pitiful you and your ignorance. Nobody's story. No preachers foaming on the mouth. Preaching. No preacher can arm what God has disarmed. Nobody. Because you see, if you're not careful, you leave what Christ has done for you and you search what people say the devil has done for them. And you make what the people say the devil is doing your gospel. But if you are a true believer of Christ, your foundation is in Christ. And the Bible says, he disarmed principalities and powers, made a public show of them, triumph over them in it. That's where the Christian is. If somebody chooses to be a witch, that is up to them. But they are disarmed. Somebody decides to take you to juju, that is up to them. But they are disarmed. Somebody decides to put black powder in front of your house, that is up to them. But it is disarmed. Somebody puts white powder on your church chair in the office, that is up to them. The worst it will do, it will dirty your suit. But that is the worst it will do. But it cannot harm you. It cannot harm you. Because if it can, then the death of Jesus Christ is of no effect. Then today is not a good Friday. It's a mournful, sorrowful, terrible Friday. But we say it's good. Because on this day, 2,000 years ago, the arms of the enemy were taken away from him. He's still our enemy. He still hates us. He will still threaten us, but he can do nothing. He can do nothing. That's scripture. You know, I can do nothing except believe what God says. Because it is on the basis of scripture that I'm born again. It's on the basis of, how do you know you are a Christian? On the basis of scripture. How do you know God created the heavens and the earth? On the basis of scripture. Everything I know and believe is on the basis of scripture. And it is on the basis of scripture that I live. And scripture said, he disarmed. They may be in your family, but they are disarmed. They may be in your office, but they are disarmed. They may be moving around, but they are disarmed. They may be rushing and charging against you, but they are disarmed. And the final reason why Jesus Christ died, number 7, is to become our sympathetic high priest and helper. He became our sympathetic high priest and helper. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ is our high priest. In the Old Testament, there was a high priest. The first Old Testament high priest, of course, was Aaron, and his line continued. And so there is always a high priest. The high priest is the highest of the priests. The priests are of the priestly families of the Levitical tribe. So there are about 3 families that produce the priest, and then a high priest comes out. And during the major celebration of Israel, which is the Day of Atonement, when the sins of the people have to be forgiven, the high priest is the only one who goes to the Holy of Holies. And he goes after they've made a sacrifice of an animal. Then he takes the blood of the animal and goes to the Holy of Holies, where there is the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. And he'll go and smear the top of the mercy seat to say that God be merciful upon the people. Atonement has been done. How was atonement done? An innocent animal has been sacrificed for the guilty nation. So somebody has borne the guilt, and his blood, this is the witness that the sacrifice has been made. And for that time, the sins of the people are forgiven. But as I said earlier, the next year, they have to go and do it. They have to do it every year because their account is still there. It has not been taken away. In Christ, it's taken away. But the important thing is that the high priest goes with the blood. Jesus is also a high priest. What is the difference between Jesus and the Old Testament high priest? The Old Testament high priest bears the blood of an animal which has suffered. He himself didn't suffer. He didn't die. The animal died. So he hasn't experienced the pain of the animal he's presenting. So he goes to present the animal, but the suffering was not done by him. Jesus Christ is a high priest. He didn't take somebody else's blood. He took his own blood. He himself became the animal who was brutalized and executed and his blood drained away from him. He takes that blood on his resurrection to go to the heavenly Holy of Holies, not Jerusalem, heavenly Holy of Holies, and say, Father, the price has been paid. And the Father says, accept it. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ as high priest is sympathetic. Why does it say so? Because the Old Testament high priest, he's not sympathetic because he didn't go through the suffering. And the second thing about the Old Testament high priest is that he belonged to the tribe of Levi or Levi. The Levites, out of whom come the priests, they were separated from the people. They lived outside the people. They don't live the life of the normal Israelites. Jesus Christ, when he came as a high priest, he didn't hide in a corner. He lived amongst us. He went through our lives. He understood our pain. And the Bible says he was tempted in every point like us, yet without sin. The thing about temptation is that when you yield to temptation, it ceases. But when you don't yield to temptation, it becomes more severe. So, Jesus Christ never sinned, but he was tempted. So what does it mean? It means throughout his life, his temptation level kept escalating. It kept escalating. It kept escalating so that one day he'll fall and it went on, escalated, yet he never yielded. Then he went to die for us. And so the Bible says he's a sympathetic high priest. Because when you go through pain, he understands what pain is. When you go through suffering, he understands what suffering is. You go through betrayal, he understands what it is to be betrayed and still not have vengeance. It's a temptation. I'm telling you, when somebody has really, really done you bad, the temptation is, and anytime you pray, you say, Father, do something to them that they will know that I am your child. And when we say that, we don't mean, Father, bless them so they will know I'm your child. We know, Lord, break their legs. And when you are breaking their legs, remind them, this leg breaking is because of Mesotabo. In the old mafia time, that is how it was done. When a mafia boss sends somebody to go and exact vengeance, you know, so they come and they're going to kill somebody, they will say, "This is from Don Corleone." Boom! So you know who authorized it. Because they want you to know as you are dying, as you are dying, this is why you are dying. They will break your leg and they say, "This is from Don Luciano." Boom! Who broke your leg? Don Luciano. So many times that's how we are. We want God to, we say, "Lord, do something for them, to them, that they will know that I am your child, that I serve the living God." We don't mean God bless them and tell them, "I'm blessing you because of him." No, 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 no. God, split their head into two. But just before you do that, show them a vision that their head is about to be split because they mess with me. It's a temptation to pray that prayer, isn't it? All of us have, it's a temptation. But Jesus Christ overcame that temptation. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows all of that, but yet didn't yield. So when we go to him and we say, "Lord, for what that person did, Father Jesus, Father Lord Jesus, show him fire." He sympathizes. He hears that prayer. He said, "My son, I've heard you. I know how you feel. I've gone through it. This is not how to solve these problems. So I've heard it. I won't answer." He's sympathetic. He knows why you are praying those prayers. He knows what you need is not vengeance. What you need is favor. What you need is blessing. So instead of killing your enemy, he will lift you up. Instead of destroying your enemy, he will bless you. He knows your prayer is misplaced, but he will hear you. He's sympathetic. He understands why human beings pray the kind of prayer they pray. Because he's been in a situation where he would have prayed that prayer. He never prayed that prayer. So when you pray it, he will hear it. He won't answer. Because he understands human nature. He's our sympathetic high priest. When we are tempted, he understands. Even when we fall, he understands why we fell. And that is why when we come back to him, he doesn't throw us away. Because he understands the frailty, the weaknesses that we face in our world. And that is why he had to come, experience our lives, die the horrible death, so that he can become a sympathetic high priest and helper. So the Bible says we come to him that we may obtain grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. When I'm in a time of need, I don't care an enemy dying. I need grace and mercy. I need God's help. I need a solution. I need God's blessing. I need God's favor. And when we come to him, that's what he gives us. Grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Today, as we remember the death of Jesus Christ, we want to keep these seven thoughts in our mind. That is why his death day is a Good Friday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we think about Jesus Christ on this day of suffering and shame and pain, being crucified, having been betrayed by a loved one, being denied and abandoned by loved ones, being mocked publicly, judged falsely, and yet he went the whole way to show us your amazing love towards us. Father, let his death bear fruit in our lives and the victory he gave to us be seen in our lives. May our lives reflect the victory of Christ Jesus. And may we live every day fully aware of who he is what he did and what he gave to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you very much.